Today's episode is brought to you by RapidCloud. Did you know that 53% of users abandon a website that takes more than 3 seconds to load? For businesses relying on WordPress, every second counts for user experience, conversions, SEO rankings, and revenue. And that's where RapidCloud comes in. RapidCloud is a high-performance managed WordPress hosting solution with advanced technologies like Lightspeed Enterprise and Object Cache Pro designed to deliver lightning-fast load times and handle the demands of today's dynamic websites. Whether you're running an e-commerce store, online learning platform, or a bustling media site, RapidCloud ensures lightning-fast performance, unmatched scalability, and enterprise-grade security, all backed by 24/7 expert support. RapidCloud empowers developers, business owners, and agencies to deliver seamless online experiences without ever worrying about downtime or slow load times. Use the promo code CODESTORY to get up to 25% off on all annual plans and 10% off monthly subscriptions. Offer valid for 2 billing periods only. That's promo code CODESTORY, all one word. Visit www.rapid.cloud and get started today. That's RAPYD.cloud.
We always want to ship code where we can experiment something and we can understand if this worked or not. We did not need any backend because we could use local event calendar from Apple's system. We needed that if people really used it daily or not. So our versioning was very important for us because when we wanted people to update, we did not want them to keep using an older version. So from the first release, you need to have some fundamentals, and that's how we went about it.
My name is Miri Minas, and I'm the co-founder of Beams.
This is Code Story, a podcast bringing you interviews with tech visionaries.
Like 6 months moonlighting.
There's nothing on the back end.
Who share what it takes to change an industry.
I don't exactly know what
to do
next.
Took many goes to get right.
Who built the teams that have their back.
The company is its people.
The teams help each other achieve.
Most proud of our team.
Keeping scalability top of mind.
All that infrastructure was a
pain. Yes, we've been fighting it as we grow.
Total waste of time. The stories you don't read in the headlines.
It's not an easy thing to achieve, mind
you. Took it off the shelf and dusted it off and tried it again.
To ride the ups and downs of the startup life.
You need to really want it.
It's not just about technology.
All this and more on Code Story. I'm your host, Noah Labhart. And today, how Miri Minas is building the next-gen work platform with intelligent insights and productivity gains. This episode is sponsored by Speakeasy. Grow your API user adoption and improve engineering velocity with friction-free integration experiences. With Speakeasy's platform, you can now automatically generate SDKs in 10 languages and Terraform providers in minutes. Visit speakeasy.com/codestory and generate your first SDK for free. This message is sponsored by QA Wolf. QA Wolf gets engineering teams to 80% automated end-to-end test coverage and helps them ship 5 times faster by reducing QA cycles from hours to minutes. With over 100 five-star reviews on G2 and customer testimonials from SalesLoft, Drata, and AutoTrader, you're in good hands. Join the Wolfpack at qawolf.com. Miri Minas is originally from Turkey and has 4 siblings in different industries. Being good at math and problem solving, she was drawn to go study computer engineering and eventually was in the industry for a while before starting her current venture. Upon reflection, she feels it was supernatural for her to live in Turkey, be a woman, and end up in software. Eventually, she moved to Berlin and continued to be a unique case in the industry. Outside of tech, she enjoys watching art movies and shows like Turin Horse or Fargo. She's learning piano, but travels so much for work she has picked up DJing because she can't bring a piano with her. In the past, Miri has experienced problems with her team as far as measuring and optimizing productivity. This was related to the different number of tools used, along with the lack of a unified view for these tools. She and her co-founder clicked on this problem and decided to build a solution. This is the creation story of Beams.
Beams is a work intelligence platform. We help companies to be more efficient by generating insights, especially about anything related to work, but focused on work tools. So we integrate with your calendar, Slack, email, G Suite. When you go to the dashboard, you can see how your team is spending their time. Currently, we also are really focused on this tool usage insights. So you can see which team member is using which tool. In the end, this helps companies to reduce their SaaS costs because they can see like underutilized tools or if there are overlapping tools that they were using for the same purpose. In my last role, I was head of engineering, and this was the time that the productivity was not only my issue, but my team was having issues with unutilized workflows or focus issues because there would be so many meetings. And my co-founder is a product manager. So when we came together, we were like, we knew from the beginning we would like to work on a problem that we've been experiencing ourselves, and we started talking to everyone around us, and the fact that we use more and more tools, then at the end of the day we couldn't accomplish any of them, that showed us that this problem is something to, you know, put our energy on. We started first with a Mac app. It was targeted as developers, designers and product managers as a product team. So it was a simple app. We released it like in a couple of weeks. The idea was like, how can we help individual to be more on time for their meetings, but also managing their time better with simple improvements. And then we later added like calendar integration, a focus Pomodoro timer, Slack integration so that everyone in your company can see that you are working on this specific task now and when you will be available next. All these like little features made people have less communication issues with their team. And then they loved it and they started using it. They gave feedback. Then from there, the next step for us was building this insights, the dashboard, something we call Fitbit for your calendar. We launched it on Product Hunt and we became the product of the day. And there, like, people loved it. It's so crazy that people don't take this time to critically think about their meetings, or they cannot protect their time for focus as well. So as a developer myself, I have seen so many people struggling with it. And the idea of this like insights was like so powerful that people could bring it to their retrospective meetings and show, okay, we have this much of meetings, how can we work on the new feature? So that kind of helped people already address the problem with more data. And then, yeah, like the last feature we have is this work tool insights. And then people can also see what other team members are using. And for managers and team leads, that also gives lots of information around tool adaption.
So let's dive into the MVP then, that first version, right? That first piece of the product you built. How long did it take you to build, and what sort of tools were you using to bring it to life?
So we used the native app building, like we built it with Swift. And the first version didn't even have any backend, just had the version check endpoint. So everything was local and except the tracking. So we were tracking people's activities to understand if this feature is used, how it should be used, and for iteration. We just released it in a couple of weeks, actually. Like, it was just a DMG file on a Google Drive folder, and we were sending the link of the drive. And we didn't even have decent version system. And then, of course, everything else followed later.
So let's stay on that MVP for a minute. With any MVP, you got to make certain decisions and trade-offs. And I can hear a big one, right, of not building a backend or not having that update system and, you know, sort of trade-offs that you have to make in the early days. Maybe it's that, or maybe it's another one, but I'm curious about some of those you had to work through and how you coped with those decisions.
Not having a backend, but having a tracking system that shows a lot of our methodology, right? We always want to ship code where we can experiment something and we can understand if this worked or not. We did not need any backend because we could use local event calendar from Apple's system. We needed that if people really used it daily or not. So our versioning was very important for us because when we wanted people to update, we did not want them to keep using an older version. So from the first release, you need to have some fundamentals. And that's how we went about it. And then in every feature, how we kept this mindset is, okay, just release the fundamental with tracking whatever you need to track to make further decisions on it. And then you should always make it better. So it should never look creepy. Like our app looks amazing now. And we get this like comment a lot that, oh, it looks really beautiful. Is it too beautiful? But it was not beautiful when we released it first. We focused on the right thing, but there is no excuse of keeping it ugly as well. Of course, first you do the experiment, you learn very early, but then when you iterate on it, you can do the nice looking or more solid version of it. So this is how we kept it always.
This episode is sponsored by Speakeasy. Whether you're growing the user adoption of your public API or streamlining internal development, SDKs can turn the chore of API integration into effortless implementation. Unburden your API users from guessing their way around your API while keeping your team focused on your product. Shorten the time to live integration and provide a delightful experience for your customers. With Speakeasy's platform, you can now automatically generate up-to-date, robust, idiomatic SDKs in 10 languages and Terraform providers in just a matter of minutes. SDKs are feature-rich with type safety, auto-retries, and pagination, everything you need to give your API the developer experience it deserves. Deliver a premium API experience without the premium price tag. Visit speakeasy.com/codestory to get started and generate your first SDK for free. This message is sponsored by SnapTrade. Link in user brokerage accounts and build world-class investing experiences with SnapTrade's unified brokerage API. With over $12 billion in connected assets and over 300,000 connected accounts, SnapTrade's API quality and developer experience are second to none. SnapTrade is SOC 2 certified and uses industry-leading security practices. Developers can use the company's official client SDKs to build investing experiences in minutes without the limitations of traditional aggregators. Get started for free today by visiting snaptrade.com/codestory. Well, let's move forward then. So you've got the MVP done and you're moving forward. You're getting some traction. And you mentioned some of this progression, I think, in the overview of the company. I'm curious about how you progressed it and matured it. And to wrap that in a box a little bit, what I'm curious about is how you build your roadmap, how you went about deciding that, okay, this is the next most important thing to build or to address with Beams.
It's a combination of multiple things. As I said, like we have tracking, we have a informed data there that like people are, how are they using the application? So that tells us a lot. And we could still think about, okay, people don't use this feature, but is it because we build it in not the best way, let's say, or is it because it's not needed? So then the first data you have is this usage data. But then, of course, we talk to users all the time. That was crazy, by the way. We onboarded 300 people with video calls. So during onboarding, we also asked questions. We observed how they are using it. Maybe like we have a button there, they should click it, but they don't click it. We try to understand what is missing in this flow or how people are perceiving things that we thought would be perceived in a different way. So these are like combinations, like you really have lots of qualitative and quantitative data for the existing product. And then you can iterate from that. We have a public web page. On our landing page, we have something called feature request, and then anyone can request a new iteration or like an integration or a feature. And then people can also upvote. So that's a great way to also collect further requests that does not even exist in your application. There, the best thing is that, for instance, we only have a Mac app now. We don't have a Windows app or iOS app, but we already have a couple of hundred users. They are not even users because they don't use it. But if we were to release a Windows app, and we can inform them and they can today start using it. So that's how you keep having this like requests in your system. And then, of course, then we have this big vision, right? The big vision is to be the meta layer of the work tools. when we evaluate what to work on next, we need to evaluate, is this integration bringing us new users, or is it making users use this tool even more? Is this solving a workflow that is very fundamental and in the core of the user's work? So based on that, like, then you can evaluate the next step. So we on purpose don't develop for Windows and Microsoft currently, because our target group or market entry is for G Suite environment where people use lots of different tools, and it's easier for us to have a bottom-up approach. So that's how we decide.
So I'm curious about team. How did you go about building your team? What do you look for in those people to indicate that they are the winning horses to join you?
Both me and my co-founder, we worked at several companies. And also I'm the third time founder and my co-founder as well. So that gave us like a good network of talent. And so for instance, the designers that we work together, I know them like for 11 years. We started working together on Beams very early beginning. And we knew how to work together. So this was like a chance plus something that you build in time, that you learn how to work with people, and then you keep this connection and you continue working on different projects together. But then when it comes to scaling up, for us currently, we are like a small team. What I noticed is that, like, you need to find people, they are autonomous, they can take an initiative. So you don't give a task, give them a concept. So you just tell, okay, we need to, it's not like we need to integrate with Google Calendar. You just tell, okay, we want to show people how people spend their time, or we want to understand people's work life or something. And then they don't only focus on the calendar. They can also tell us like, okay, maybe there is also an event which is not on your calendar. So that critical thinking only comes, the person is thinking in like conceptual way.
This message is sponsored by QA Wolf. If slow QA processes bottleneck your software engineering team and you're releasing slower because of it, you need a solution. You need QA Wolf. QA Wolf gets engineering teams to 80% automated end-to-end test coverage and helps them ship 5 times faster by reducing QA cycles from hours to minutes. With over 100 five-star reviews on G2 and customer testimonials from SalesLoft, Drata, AutoTrader, and many more, you're in good hands. Ready to ship faster with fewer bugs? Join the Wolfpack at QAWolf.com to see if they can help you squash the QA bottleneck. This episode is sponsored by Vanta. You're a startup founder. Finding product market fit is probably your number one priority. But to land bigger customers, you also need security compliance. And obtaining your SOC 2 or ISO 27001 certification can open those big doors. But they take time and energy, pulling you away from building and shipping. And that's where Vanta comes in. Vanta is the all-in-one compliance solution helping startups like yours get audit ready and build a strong security foundation quickly and painlessly. How, you ask? Vanta automates the manual security tasks that slow you down, helping you streamline your audit. And the platform connects you with trusted experts to build your program, auditors to get you through audits quickly, and a marketplace for essentials like pen testing. So whether you're closing your first deal or gearing up for growth, Vanta makes compliance easy. Join over 8,000 companies, including many Y Combinator and Techstar startups, who trust Vanta. For a limited time, get $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/codestory. That's VANTA.com/codestory. This message is sponsored by SnapTrade. Link in user brokerage accounts and build world-class investing experiences with SnapTrade's unified brokerage API. With over $12 billion in connected assets and over 300,000 connected accounts, SnapTrade's API quality and developer experience are second to none. SnapTrade is SOC 2 certified and uses industry-leading security practices. Developers can use the company's official client SDKs to build investing experiences in minutes without the limitations of traditional aggregators. Get started for free today by visiting snaptrade.com/codestory. I'm curious about scalability, and I'm sure there's interesting stories given where you started and where you are now, but I'm curious how you approach scalability in the beginning, and also I'm curious if there have been interesting areas where you've had to fight it as you've grown.
So like our team is very experienced. I'm like 16 years experience. Our backend engineer is like 17 and worked at like banking applications. So when you think about it, for us, the scalability issue is not that we would overlook on something, but we could over engineer. So that's why we were always talking about from the beginning, are we over engineering this? Should we implement the feature flag for this, or should we keep it easy to submit and then we can later remove this part of the code or something? I do think like at the beginning, this mindset moving really fast and then like maybe building something that like you will completely put in trash. That mindset was not easy for the team. And so we had this, even I remember this conversation that like we should build it in a way that this code lasts for 5 years. And I'm like, no, this code shouldn't last 5 years. And that mindset made us like move very fast. But then of course, at one point, there were times that, okay, we need to change our cloud provider. And then, okay, now we take the time and then we try to make us independent from cloud provider. But that is something I think understandable from an early stage. So then you make the decision based on that.
I'm curious, Miri, as you step out on the balcony and you look across all that you've built, what are you most proud of?
People, when they change their job or when they have a new computer and when they try to join their next meeting, and they use the shortcut and then all of a sudden they notice that the app is not there. So to be able to be infused in their day this much that they take it granted almost, that it's a part of their behavior almost, that is making me proud, because then they write this to me or in our community Slack that they were surprised that it's not there, and then they were like, oh, okay, I have a new computer. They changed their job. So because our vision from the beginning was there is no such work tool that continuously with you when you change your job, when you change your computer. But our vision was like this tool can be this like individual first tool and plug you into different work environments. When you change your job, then you start using a new project management tool or you start using a new design tool, but then because the company wants to use that tool, but there could be like an interface that already knows you and plugs you into this work environment and can also be beneficial for companies and teams as well. So to see this, that this is working now, that this tool follows you for your new job, that shows already that like our vision was validated. So that's very good.
Let's flip the script a little bit. Tell me about a mistake you made and how you and your team responded to it.
For me, I think the struggle is the communication piece of it. Sometimes like I feel I'm running and then I need to align and inform the team. Of course, there are so many misunderstandings, or sometimes you're not on the same page. Maybe I forget something or I make a mistake, and the team is pretty constructive on that, that they would be like understanding because it's a very fast moving environment. But also maybe not even just this mistake or alignment, but within the, especially like the developer team, right? We do have lots of incidents. There is a bug that we generated, I generated. And then like when we write post-mortem, we never make it a personal thing. And I think this is something that I'm proud of from them as well. And as a team, I think we are proud, is that like we come together and write this post-mortem. And it's never about what did this person do wrong. It's always about, okay, what happened there? And then how could we systematically do this better? Is it because we did not get an alert, or is it because we did not have a good test that made us publish this code, and could we prevent it with a unit test or any sort of way of preventing this? I did work at companies that we pushed local code to production, or the payment page is not working, or the database got, it's not lost completely, but let's say like a whole day's data is lost. So you try to work on this together. And then at that moment, the goal is to solve this problem all together. So it's never who did what or pointing each other. It's more about, okay, we are in this and how do we go about it? And how do we ensure that this doesn't happen again?
Miri, this is going to be fun to hear your excitement in your voice. What does the future look like for Beams, for the product, and for your team?
Yeah, so this new feature is very exciting for us because, as you can imagine, lately the market is a tough market. Although we started with this calendar insights and individuals using it for working in a more efficient way, what we soon realized when we went to the company owners, managers, what we noticed is this is very hard to monetize in this market. There is no clear owner of such a problem. Like having too many meetings does not have an owner in the company who is responsible for that. That's why we started having these conversations with managers, and they were telling us their biggest problem currently is this AI hype, first of all, because they all want to be on board with this. They want to use the latest, best tool for AI so that they could also have a more efficient team. But also second biggest focus is also reducing costs. The new feature that we have now is like helpful or useful for both of these things, because what we do now is basically we track people's tool usage. So a pilot that we work together wants everyone to use ChatGPT or Copilot in their company, and they are happy to pay for the licenses and everything, but they also want to understand if people really use it. And that's what we can do. We do have a browser extension tracking lately we are working on, and also the Mac app. Then with this, we can understand people's daily usage of these tools, if this tool really infused into their workflows and for which they are using it. Because it feels like, especially from the data we gather now, all companies are trying lots of different tools, and some of them does not. Maybe people need better onboarding or training. So this is something we are excited that we can help companies to figure this out.
Okay, let's switch to you, Miri. Who influences the way that you work? Name a person or many persons or something you look up to and why.
Here, I'm a little bit like pessimistic because I do feel we are living in this era. Most of the leaders are very autocratic, or it's for me like a negative leadership. So I feel like mostly they are leading, boosting the fear. And that also results in lots of trust issues. And it's not even about companies, what I'm talking about now. So I do feel that it's not so easy to see so many good examples for me, especially like with my background. So I don't look and then I see, oh, someone like me is managing a company. I do love reading about leaders. It's more about this philosophical or ethical discussions. So for me, like, it's not about who influences my work, but it's more I should really take the responsibility of people that I'm managing or of any change that I bring to the world or the life of people. It is important for me to understand the responsibility coming with this. And that's why, like, I always read about like ethical discussions around like AI, or I do follow other leaders as good or bad examples. And I try to also understand what I could take from it. But I don't like this tech guts, like it's full of tech guts. And then they do make decisions affecting all of our lives, right? For me, I would be more up for inspiring people, but also taking the responsibility of the actions that we do or the changes we bring to life. For instance, for us now, our tool could be also considered as like a monitoring or observation tool, or on the hands of wrong people, like ensuring that only the data which is useful for cost cutting is going to the management. But if we don't take this serious, and what if this data is used for performance evaluations for people? So that's very important. You should know that what you build can be misused. That's your responsibility to prevent that as well. And I'm not afraid of it. I want to embrace this. I'm out there, I'm building, and I would like to be a part of this discussion. I'm not one of these people also thinking like, oh, AI, it's negative or going to harm people. I do think that like we should adapt and always embrace like what tech brings, but also I have always a responsibility in mind. Yeah.
Miri, last question. So you're getting on a plane and you're sitting next to a young entrepreneur who's built the next big thing. They're jazzed about it. They can't wait to show it off to the world and can't wait to show off to you right there on the plane. What advice do you give that person having gone down this road a bit?
I should ask advice and get advice from them because they built the next big thing. But if I were to give an advice to this person, I think like there are 100 different ways of being an entrepreneur or building a company. And there are different people who would follow you as well. You don't need to have one recipe. But a good advice that I got from someone and inspired me a lot, if you are a leader, you will be always on the spotlight. And there is no way that like your shadow won't be seen. So everybody will see your weaknesses. It's better that you know it before everybody else. And then you can either work on it or you can just accept it and be transparent around it, what you are not good at, because it's not possible that it's not going to be seen. So I think it's very deep, but very practical at the same time.
Absolutely. I love that advice. Well, Miri, thank you for being on the show today. And thank you for telling the creation story of Beams.
Thank you so much for having me.
And this concludes another chapter of Code Story. Code Story is hosted and produced by Noah Labhart. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or the podcasting app of your choice. And when you get a chance, leave us a review. Both things help us out tremendously. And thanks again for listening.
Geico's motorcycle expertise means I'm covered by people who know bikes like I do. I'm happy as a clam.
Disclaimer, no conclusive scientific research has shown clams can experience happiness.
I just meant that I feel really good about my coverage.
I mean, even if you took the clam out for the best day ever, visiting the zoo, taking a scenic ride, knowing you're insured by specialists, and sharing a strawberry ice cream cone together, the clam would not feel happy, and your strawberry cone would taste sort of clammy.
Ew.
Geico's motorcycle specialists who know bikes like you do assume no liability for clammy ice cream cones. Geico, expertise for your motorcycle.